I'm so ready.
He's so ready. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the GGG podcast. If you haven't already, if you are a fan of the show and you haven't already liked and subscribed, please, please throw us a like, throw us a subscribe.
I can't talk right now. That was like a combo.
Yeah, I feel like I was an announcer for Street Fighter VI. This week I am joined, as always, by Phil. Phil, how are you doing this week?
I am doing so good. I am lost in an isekai, a whole different world. We'll talk more about that, obviously, a little bit later. But Paul, how are you doing? What have you been playing?
I'm good. I picked up PAL World, as you were just alluding to. So we'll get into that, because we're going to talk about PAL World for our main topic. So stay tuned for that. It is blowing up the internet. So I've been playing quite a bit of that, but also been playing just more little bits of everything. Got a chance to play The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered. Got to try out the roguelike mode.
No Return, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called No Return. Yeah. Everybody's like comparing it to God of War Valhalla, which I think is kind of an unfair comparison, because I feel like Valhalla was a full-blown DLC and No Return is a game mode. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's a game mode.
Yeah,
and that's fine and that's great. I do really like it, it's not Valhalla, but that's okay. It doesn't need to be Valhalla.
I've played a bit of it myself, and I'm definitely like, I think I went in with subdued expectations in some capacity, but as I've been playing, I'm like, this is fun. This is what I wanted. Like,
it is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you like figure out new abilities, and like they kind of give you different like unlockable character abilities as you go.
Yeah.
I just like that sort of having to scramble and figure out your run. And I think that in this sense, it does a little bit better than God of War, just because you have to like really piece stuff together, versus in God of War, you're like, all right, I'm going to use a spear this run. I don't care what happens. I'm just going spear.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that, but I do think God of War, like, obviously it's a story and it's part of the actual game. So
yeah, it's a story. You know, you get a lot of cool stuff and homages to the older games in Valhalla. Mm. So the No Return, The Last of Us Part Two, I really like it. I think like I went into it without playing The Last of Us in a long time and like totally forgot all the controls. So like the first couple times I was just dying pretty much immediately. But that's kind of the thing, is like, it's a completely different vibe from God of War, because God of War, you play it for the excellent, precise combat. And for this, it's much more of like a tension game, you know, much more of a Resident Evil-ish kind of a vibe, where it's like you can die at full health in one hit if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. So,
I like the weird grime to it. That's one of the things about The Last of Us that I really enjoy, is that the combat isn't that precise, like you said, God of War. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, like, someone will run up and hit me with a bat, and I'm just on the floor, like, looking at them with my gun, like, all right, hold on, I'm gonna stay still.
Gotta shoot him. Yeah. Having fun with that. And then, you know, the usuals. Played some Deep Rock. What else did I think I played some Void Crew. You know, the usual things. So.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we get into our game releases this week? And I believe you had some news with our first game release this week. And what is that game, Phil?
That's going to be Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Now, Like a Dragon used to be Yakuza, was like the sort of brand name overall.
Right.
They've changed it from that to Like a Dragon, I guess, because Like a Dragon, I think, is what it's called, or was originally called in Japan. Anyway, doesn't matter. This is just a weird side thing. anywho, looks like a really fun game. People who love the Like a Dragon games are very excited about it. However, there is a big bummer attached to it, that the New Game Plus mode for this game is only attached to the premium versions of the game. So if you just buy the base game, you play it, you enjoy it, you can't do a New Game Plus because it is locked behind a paywall, which I think is ridiculous.
How steep is this paywall we're talking? How much is the souped-up edition?
I believe you can get it for the $69.90 or whatever, like the $10 above is.
Okay.
But that goes up, you know, infinitely high to however, like $100 edition or whatever. But to me, it's just kind of nuts. And granted, I'm someone who bought the deluxe edition of Spider-Man. Just like, I want to give them more money.
Right.
And I know that new game pluses aren't easy for developers to make, but it's usually cooked into it. And I'd hate the idea of giving up like another little thing that we're having to piecemeal out and pay for.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't really feel this way, but to play devil's advocate, to play devil's advocate, like, I feel like the people who want to play New Game Plus are sometimes the people who are going to buy the super deluxe souped up edition. And so it's like, I don't play New Game Plus on games that I'm not really into. Like that's not, I don't, like those games that you buy and you like begrudgingly play through because you're like, well, I spent money on this. So obviously I don't love it because it's stripping features, it's kind of an industry standard that it's provided for free. So that kind of sucks. But I would be fine with them adding a feature or a mode that is not an industry standard for free and then charging for that in the deluxe edition. You want to do that? Sure. But kind of lame.
I agree with you that is actually probably the best case argument for like people who love the game are going to be the ones who need to get plus it's, and they're probably going to get more money anyway. So not a bad point. And as we could see, like, you know, Spider-Man, God of War, a lot of great games, their new game plus came out after, a little while after, because it takes more development time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All that to say, it's getting good reviews, so.
It's getting great reviews.
That's
Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, getting great reviews, and Tekken 8 also getting stellar reviews, which is weird because people, like, I feel like really haven't been in a Tekken for a while. And the Tekken was really my childhood fighting game. I played so much Tekken, and I had like my favorite characters and everything like that. I loved the 3D element, you know, to fight, similar to Soul Calibur and whatnot. So I'm excited that those two games are both coming out this week and are actually really good. Are you surprised that they're getting good reviews?
No, I feel like the Like a Dragon games have been, if you're into them, consistently bangers, so it makes sense. I do think that, like, Tekken 8, we've had this, like, period of, I feel like, some of the best fighting games in maybe a generation or so, like Street Fighter 6, Mortal Kombat 1, I know it's got its issues, but it's just, like, they've been pumping out consistently good games for a while.
Yeah, 11 was the big banger for them.
Yeah. And then Street Fighter, I feel like, got people riled up for fighting games again, you know? So it's pretty cool that I think Tekken, Bandai Namco, has seized on the buzz and like, okay, we've got goodwill for fighting games. Let's pour everything into this one. So I'm excited for it. I have a friend who's really stoked about it, and I'm excited to like see... I'm excited to play with him. I'm going to lose, though. That's the problem.
Oh,
I'm
not
a Tekken guy.
I'm not, like, good at fighting games. So, it's I'm not definitely not going to be winning that round. Do you have a character? Have you played Tekken a lot? Do you have a character that you're somewhat familiar with?
I always liked the Panda Bear because he was a bear. Yes. That's pretty much it.
that's a fair answer.
Who's your favorite? Who's your go-to?
Oh, I mean, God, I don't even know if the character is still in the game. I think her name was like Christy or something like that. She had all these like swing. She was like a break dancer. She had all these big swinging kicks. But then I think there's, I think there's a Paul in the game. No, there's a there's a Korean kickboxer. I don't remember his name. He has red hair. That's the guy I used to play as a lot. And all the Tekken fans are screaming the name in the audience right now. So
it's Jethro Tull. That's right. Yeah, no, it's really cool to see fighting games like back on the rise.
Yeah, absolutely. I am all for it. Last on the release calendar for this week is Enshrouded, which has, I feel like it got announced ages ago. It's finally coming out on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. For those people into survival action RPGs, Enshrouded probably be right up your alley. I haven't seen any reviews for this yet. I wonder if the embargo is up for it. But we cannot give it the thumbs up
sealed,
as the other two have gotten. So
I follow Skill Up, who does like a lot of videos on this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I believe Austin, one of the two dudes who runs it anyway, was giving really good, they got to play a little bit of early of this, and they say it's kind of like Valheim, and without sort of like any substantive additions to Valheim, this is going to probably be the right spot for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. In terms of a survival game. That said, a pretty dope survival game just came out last week.
Ooh.
So whoops,
bad timing.
But it does look really, really cool. It looks beautiful as well. So
it does. So maybe we'll see if said surviving game that came out last week, if it flames out, if people flock over to some other things. All right, let's move right along in the news. I want to get to our main topic real bad, so we're going to chug right through. So first thing in the news, Phil and I were talking earlier this year, and we wanted to make sure that any big sales that were happening anywhere in the Gamerverse, you were made aware of, so we can help save gamers some money. So if you are a PC gamer and you are familiar with Humble or the Humble Bundle or anything like that, Humble is having a huge, what they call their Winter Wonderland sale. And it has a lot of great games on sale for really good prices, and not just, you know, games that you've never heard of. Some real good ones out there. A couple from my list that I would highly recommend. Civilization VI Platinum Edition is on sale for $15 right now. That is a absolute steal if you don't already own Civilization VI. I would also say Marvel's Midnight Suns, $20, where it's usually $60. And I know that hasn't been a really popular game, but anybody who played Baldur's Gate 3, if you want a worse story with better gameplay, it's Marvel's Midnight Suns.
I like that a lot.
Again, the story's not going to be great, but the gameplay, I really feel it's got really, really good gameplay in that game. Any games on this list that you would recommend, Phil?
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a few. If you want to bone up on Dragon's Dogma, one is on sale for like $5 so that you can get ready for part two. That said, one of my game of the year top nominees, Remnant 2, is on there for half off pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good
deal. That's a game for just like, it's basically Dark Souls with just the amount of time that you put into it. And then a little like sort of hidden sleeper, Citizen Sleeper, is a great story-based, not an action game, almost not a visual novel, but like this really immersive RPG that you don't like see your character in. Yeah, so some good stuff there.
Absolutely. Just to name off a couple more, Doom Eternal is on sale, No Man's Sky is on sale, Starfield's on sale, Deathloop Deluxe Edition is on sale, Street Fighter 6, Mortal Kombat 1, like RoboCop that just came out is on sale.
So good.
So Monster Hunter World Iceborne Masters Edition is on sale for $25. If you're a Monster Hunter fan.
There's that's so much game for that amount of money.
For $25. That's really good. So check out those deals over on the Humble store.
Probably the best way to check out Forspoken too, because if you wanted to play Forspoken, $27.
Yeah.
Great point.
All right. Do it. Go.
Let's talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. I want this game to be good. It's getting a lot of negative flack. However, they are doing their damnedest over there at Rocksteady to fix that, like offering free characters and free DLC for the Suicide Squad. The first season's free DLC character is going to be the Joker, which is kind of seems like a crazy pull, considering that in the Arkhamverse, the Joker is dead. Spoilers. But I think it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's great. I think that it's fantastic that they're providing the first season. I don't know. I don't know if it's fantastic, because I think if you buy a game and it's planned as a service, you need to provide the first season for free, because I bought the admission ticket. So I think that's cool. I really am interested by this Joker design. They've said that this is not, this is the new Joker. It's kind of a new take, still very Jokery, but a new take on the Joker. And you can tell by how the character is designed and, that it's different. And so I'm really curious to see if this is a Joker that people will, enjoy and find interesting, or if it's the Jared Leto Joker. So,
that hurts. Okay. I think there's a couple cool things about this. First of all, so they explain it as a Joker from an alternate dimension in this game. They've said they're going to be multiverses or whatever. So this Joker is, exists in a world where he hasn't become like a supervillain yet. He's on his way, but he gets roped into Task Force X, and is part of the Suicide Squad. So it's, I guess, a little bit more of a heroic Joker. He's younger. He's more vaudevillian. I kind of wonder if they're going to try to, like, do a little Joker and Harley Quinn thing, because her, I think, other famous love interest, Poison Ivy, is out of the game, or is representing the game as a child.
Mm.
So that would be fun. I've also heard rumors that Deathstroke is, like, on their list of things. I wonder how much they're going to be able to support this game. Because I feel like if it doesn't sell that well, I don't even know if they're going to finish the first season.
Avengers. I mean, you know, you just hit the nail on the head right there. The more we talk about it, the more I'm like, oh, yeah, the Avengers had a free character and a free first season and, you know, like all of this stuff. And so I hope that history doesn't repeat itself with this. I guess the big key between these two games is that this has an open world, whereas the Avengers didn't really. It had an open mission, I should say, I guess. I'm happy that there's another character, because, like, just having those four characters, I feel like the Suicide Squad, you have so many other crazy characters. I got to see a little bit of the Joker gameplay. I was wondering how they were going to make Joker, like, fly around like all the other characters. And so they have this really cool idea where he has, like, this umbrella, like this, you know, very clowny umbrella. And I think it looks really cool. It is a little hokey, but, you know, whatever. I'm curious.
It reminds me a lot of what was, it came out for the Xbox One, and it was the last game that Insomniac did for anyone besides Sony. Right?
I know the gameplay. I can see it in my head.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's got that type of, like, movement and combat all at once. And I think that is the best thing it has going for it that maybe Avengers didn't have. So, you know, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed that it turns out to be pretty good.
Sunset Overdrive. Gotcha.
I was on Insomniac's page, like, looking through their games, like, please.
Be in here somewhere. All right. So moving on to our next news topic, and I'll let you chime in a second here, Phil, because I know you have feelings about it. So last week, we were talking about Halo and how they were like, we canceled our Battle Royale, and we kind of discussed whether, like, this was an indication that Microsoft was kind of like abandoning ship and being like, I think we're gonna move on and not try to make this work. And we got confirmation this week from Microsoft that there will be no more Halo Infinite seasons at all. So they will keep things in rotation and continue to support the game through this year, but have made no other roadmap commitments to Halo Infinite. Phil?
Ouch. Well, okay. First of all, Halo's a repeat offender on our show. It's been multiple weeks in a row where we're just like, so what's going on with Halo? But I was talking to a friend of mine who works in the industry, and he had an opinion that I thought was really interesting. He said I could share on the show.
Ooh.
But he said that Microsoft worked really hard to acquire Activision.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they've acquired the biggest shooter on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Will they just let Halo go for a while? Like they've got Call of Duty. Do they need to make more Halos?
I mean, need is not the right word.
Because yes, yeah.
Microsoft doesn't need to do anything. They don't. They're fine.
They could just be making Windows Explorer and all of their like programs would be good.
Yeah.
However.
Phil Spencer can keep just buying companies and absorbing them and being like, see, look at all the games we make that we bought. So, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. You know, I guess you don't want
to cannibalize your own.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like even though they are both competitive first-person shooters, I feel like they're kind of different markets. You know, I feel that Call of Duty is much more of a Twitch-first, and with Warzone, you know, it's a battle royale. Like, if they canceled the battle royale because they didn't want to compete with Warzone, okay, sure. But to completely be like, we're done with Halo, maybe we'll bring this back. Or maybe they won't, you know, maybe it's Half-Life now. Maybe it's never gonna, you know, come out. So I get that, but it's very disappointing because Halo was supposed to be this huge game. Halo Infinite was supposed to be this huge game. Infinite.
Yeah,
it's got Infinite in the name.
It's supposed to go on forever. No, yeah. Well, it's a pillar of Xbox and has been throughout its entire life cycle. So hopefully it is the case that they're not willing to just move on from it. But I think, you know, if anything, there's a positive in that they're like, we don't need to make Halos like and pump them out. We can make it a, you know, one every 6 years. Hey, here's a game that we've been passionately working on. You're getting your shooters over here.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, Master Chief has an emotional breakdown and we made it fun somehow.
just a quick time event of Master Chief crying.
Press B to sob.
Oh man. All right. Well, back in jail, Microsoft. You're still still on the hot seat.
Straight to jail.
So all right, next up on the news. So The Witcher 4, CD Projekt Red, as most people know, they have told a news outlet that they have no plans to integrate AI into the makings of The Witcher 4 and have a huge amount of employees. And so they've already started working on The Witcher 4, but they're going to be gearing up in the next couple of months. And so they're kind of laying the groundwork and the planning of, well, you know, what their goals are and everything like that. So this is a big publisher coming out and saying that they are not going to use AI. Obviously, this is a verbal commitment, but I think it's kind of refreshing, you know, and I think that this is kind of what needs to happen with the bigger publishers who have the money to be able to pay, you know, these employees what they deserve instead of trying to cut financial corners. So, yeah. Any impressions on that, Phil? How do you feel? Are you a Witcher fan, by the way?
Yeah, I've played The Witcher 2 and The Witcher 3 specifically.
Yeah,
I tried The Witcher 1, but I think it was not the right time for me.
It's too old.
That said, I sure hope they don't use AI. I'm like, hey, good for you for saying it. And honestly, CD Projekt Red, they have earned every bit of goodwill that they have because they made The Witcher 3. It was amazing. They made The Witcher 2. It was amazing. And Cyberpunk, they did a No Man's Sky where they worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. So I trust them more than I do other developers. But it it does that they didn't, or they don't plan to use AI, which is, it leaves a little bit of a doorway to be like, if we need to.
Well, so they went on to say that they may use AI to expedite processes, or allow employees to use AI to expedite processes, but that they will not be replacing anyone's job. And the employee, I think it said around 400 people are going to be working on this game. So that's a lot of jobs.
Okay. Very cool. Good.
So, you know, and like, I get it. It's a new technology. It's happening. You probably have to integrate it to some extent, but as long as it's not costing people their jobs, then I am all for it.
Same. I want that to be the future. Like, we use AI to make our lives easier, not to make rich people more money and to make poor people more poor.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm very excited for The Witcher 4 now, even a little bit more than I was. Ooh. So
there's something else on this list that you're also excited for.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, here's the thing about the trailer for Indiana Jones and the Perfect Circle, is that what it's called? And the Golden Circle, I don't remember what it is. It came out.
The Great Circle.
The Great Circle.
It's not perfect, it's great. It's a great circle.
It's a great circle. No one's saying it's not round. It's just, I think so the trailer came out. It's a first-person Indiana Jones game, which is an interesting take. I would have thought it would have been third-person.
Me too, yeah.
This is like a Bethesda passion project, and they've been talking about it, I think, since like 2018 is when they first announced it. I am excited to play it. Was taken back by its first person, but it looks pretty cool in my book. And I feel like it needed something to delineate itself from being Tomb Raider and Uncharted, which are both obviously inspired by Indiana Jones. So it's cool that it's kind of like setting its own footprint by being like, hey, we're an adventure game with archaeology, traps, combat, but it's all in first person. And I'm assuming you get to punch some World War II bad guys.
What?
I don't know if we could. Yeah, finally. the woke army got to Indiana, and now he's out there hitting National Socialist German soldier. What is the? I don't want to say.
You don't want to. I'll say it if you don't want
to
say
Nazis.
It.
We're yeah, cool we can, to say Nazis. I just don't want to. I don't know. I don't know if the internet's gonna get upset at us.
We're okay. It's just a word.
I mean the algorithm, not like the. I don't care if someone like punch Nazis left and right.
Sure.
But
no, but I mean it's factual or not factual because it's a fiction. But Indiana Jones has fought Nazis in previous movies and will continue to do so. Like we're talking about fighting Nazis. So
and I love it. Yes. I love how much she hits them.
Yeah.
But yeah, what did you think about the trailer?
I was very surprised by the first person take. It's Bethesda, and so it has to be first person. They didn't have a choice because they don't know how to do a third person game. they just know how to switch the camera angle, but they don't know anything else about how to do a third person game. That's
woefully true.
But obviously my mind went to Uncharted. My mind went to Tomb Raider, because those games were inspired by the Indiana Jones movies. And so Indiana Jones isn't copying them or anything like that because that it was the original inspiration. So I think it looks pretty cool. I think the combat looks interesting. I don't trust Bethesda because of Starfield. And also seeing how pretty the game looks, I'm like, whose engine is this? Whose engine is this? Is this running on a 5090 that hasn't been released yet? Like, what are we talking about? And so I'm not I know it's technically Harrison Ford and the faces, and then it's being played by Troy Baker, which is if you're gonna have somebody play, I'm sure. I guess my hesitation is I don't trust Bethesda, and I don't know. I don't know how on the rails this game is, because it looks very on the rails. And so, is this a incredibly linear on the rails 5-hour experience that I'm going to pay $70 for. And you know, if it's an amazing 5 hours, like, sure. But not being a hardcore Indiana Jones fan myself, I'm just like, I don't know what you're actually doing. Like, I don't know what you can actually do in the game, or if it's just about moving to the next cutscene, which is also fine. And maybe that's what Indiana Jones fans want. They, you know, they just want a movie.
After the last two Indiana Jones films, just like a solid Indiana Jones film where he's young Harrison Ford doing his thing would be fun. That said, even if it is just like a narrative experience, thank you, Papa Phil, for Game Pass, because I'm paying $60 for that. No way.
No. But the whip looks fun, you know? The
whip looks pretty cool.
Whip looks fun. The punching, I hope you can do more than that, but like it was cool in the moment.
This reminds me of something. I feel like I've never voiced this opinion before, but when game animations are too like rigid or kind of the same in every circumstance, it really throws me off. One of the things that was like a big trend in game advertisement a few years ago was seeing like the character run in third person, but then the background would change to like show this is them in the mountain, but it would just flash through. And it was still like the same character model running same the same animation. Way.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that makes me so sad to look at.
It's crazy how they're moving the exact same way in the snowy mountains as they are on the sandy beach or next to a volcano. And, you know, like I feel like, you know, just Uncharted figured out that your character needs to react. You need to have animations. Like if you're Nathan Drake and you're running past a wall, he'll put his hand on the wall. Or like if he's by a fire, he'll like do this, like, you know, or like if he's, you know, in the snow, he's cold. You know, it's just like, I feel like a lot of game developers have stopped focusing on animation because gamers don't care about those details as much,
or when I think they don't vocalize it, like they don't.
Yeah,
they don't
that's know true.
They care about it.
That's but true.
I think it's one of those unnoticed little things that we're like, oh man, that makes it feel so real.
But yeah, like something I've wanted for a very long time is like when you're playing a game and you're getting in a vehicle or something like that, I want to see the animation of you getting in the vehicle. I want to see that, and it can be first person or third person or whatever, but show me an animation. Don't just magically teleport me to the driver's seat, you know. Show me getting in the darn vehicle. So, you know, if Grand Theft Auto could do that, and it's over 10 years old, then every other game can do that.
No excuses. The other thing I will say that you brought up the point that you don't trust Bethesda. I think is not an uncommon and not unjustified point of view, but it's so crazy that like 5 years ago we were like, well, it's Bethesda. So like, I feel like that was like the zeitgeist has turned.
Oh, on yeah. Bethesda. Because of Starfield.
Rightfully so too. Rightfully so.
Woo! Excuse me.
Blessings upon you.
Thank you. Thank you. And with that, we shall move into what everyone is doing right now, which is talking or playing Pal World. And it has completely taken over the internet. So I'm just going to throw some facts out there, and then we'll get into, we've both had a chance to play it. We both had experience. But so far as of this recording, Pal World has sold 6 million freaking copies, which is ridiculous, especially considering that is not available on PlayStation. You can only play this on PC and Xbox. No PlayStation, no Switch. And it sold 6 million copies. And as far as concurrent players on Steam, it has hit 3.2 million, which is only second to PUBG. It has surpassed every other game except for PUBG. And then we'll get into a little bit of the third bullet in a bit. But just our first impressions, Phil. Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
Go for it.
Okay. So I picked this game up yesterday. I was really surprised that of how much of a survival crafting game it is. I thought it was going to be like Pokemon first, and it's really Pokemon second. I feel like it's, if anybody out there has played V Rising, I think it is very, very similar to V Rising. Not in the aesthetic necessarily or the vibe, but just in how the game is structured, where it's like, this is a set map. You can play online with other people on our dedicated servers. But it is a crafting game first. So it's like V Rising first, Pokemon second, and then I would say Zelda third. So if you like those games, you're going to love this game. And that's why I think it's so successful. But yeah, I really like, you know, the character design. I would say aesthetically, it kind of looks a little bit like Fortnite, to be honest. But I'm having so much fun with it. I love crafting games. And I think in general, this is a thought that a lot of survival crafting game players have had, where like, if I'm playing Valheim, it's like, God, it'd be great if I can get some Grade Wars to do some of my freaking chores instead of me doing all these, you know, chores in the game and everything like that. You want NPCs that you can control and like be in charge of and have your little kingdom over. And so this takes, you know, what is essentially Pokemon, and it's like, hey, here's all your NPCs, and you don't have to like sort them and organize them and tell them what to do. They're just going to do something they can do. They'll find something at your base that they can do, and they'll do it. And that ease is fantastic. And for those people out there who are like, well, this Pokemon looks exactly, or like this pal looks exactly like this Pokemon and all that stupid stuff, it's just like, that's not fair anymore. Okay. You know how long Pokemon's been out? Also, it's like, people are like, oh, this penguin pal looks like the penguin Pokemon. You want to know why?
They just look like penguins.
They look like penguins. They look like penguins, which is comes from nature, which comes from the world, which nobody owns penguins, okay?
Not yet.
So you can't be like, they can't make another cute penguin thing. That's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. So anyways, those are my initial thoughts. I have a lot more to say, but I want to get your opinion in as well. Go for it.
I agree. V Rising, what a pull, because that is a great game, and it does feel similar, where a lot of it is resource gathering and like, okay, I gotta go back to my base to set this up. All right, that's gonna get me this. Let me go out a little bit further to explore, to go find this. It's the game is sequenced really, really well, and as you unlock things, I will say maybe the XP advancement is a little slow, but you can actually change that, which is cool. You can change how much resources you get from mining or cutting wood. So if the game is a little bit too slow, you can actually make it better in that respect. I had a moment where I started playing Friday, right when the game launched. I was like, all right, nice. Crack in. I love monsters. I love survival games. Let's go. And I played pretty much all day Friday. And then every bit of time I have gotten since then, I have been like just putting in hours on hours, tried to play some Last of Us, but Pal World has such a good pull. And for being a game that is not complete, still in its alpha, it has so much going for it. Like the combat, I've actually started to get a hang of, okay, I'm going to let my pal attack. I'm going to pull him back so they don't kill this thing. And then I'm going to like make sure that I can get the catch, or, okay, I know that this particular thing drops leather, so I have to go kill some of these. It's a really like surprisingly deep game that looks like a cartoon. And I guess one more thing that I really enjoy about it is just how kind of like wacky and dark it can be. Sort of like the original Grand Theft Auto, where you would play at first when you were like a tween or a kid just to see the messed up stuff you could do. But in Power World, you can craft a butcher knife to get resources from your pals. So instead of like when you call them over, you don't pet them, you butcher them and they're just gone forever. But you can also put your penguin in a rocket launcher and shoot him at enemies. I got this one called a Rocococo or Tokoroko that looks like a dodo bird. And you can craft special gloves for it that allow you to pick it up and shoot its eggs out like a grenade launcher. The first time I actually caught that one and like used it to fight, I was like, all right, fight. And it just walked up to the other pals there and started flashing red and then self-destructed. And I was like, that's your ability?
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. Again, just a great usage of these monsters. And I think, like you said, when they're at the base and they're doing their thing, it's really cool to watch, like, you know, in Pokemon, you never see a Squirtle, like, use its ability to, like, surf or something. It's not special to that particular Pokemon, but in Pal World, it is special to these particular pals that this one is going to, like, squirt water onto your crafting thing to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool to see the practical uses on top of the fighting uses.
It kind of feels like Pokefarm, you know, kind of a vibe, or, like, how you actually watched, like, Pokemon the show as opposed to playing Pokemon the games. And, like, I understand, like, with Pokemon the games, you know, it started as a game. It's very old. Like, I'm an OG. I remember when Pokemon freaking came out. And, you know, but aside from Pokemon Arceus, they've never gotten away from the turn-based RPG, you know, get through the map. It's just the same Pokemon game. All right, so yeah, this is where I want to take our conversation a little bit. To like, why is this, because it's a good game regardless, but why is it catching on fire so bad? And I think it's because, one, people from our age and down have been clamoring for a good Pokemon game for a very long time. And all that Game Freak wants to put out is they want to put out the same game with new Pokemon that look like a penguin and, you know, or whatever. And they don't want to change anything up substantially. And, like, I remember a couple years ago, I picked up Temtem. Do you know what Temtem is?
I remember Temtem, yeah.
So it's like, I believe it's a Chinese company makes Temtem. And I actually really like Temtem because I saw it as a little bit of a progression of Pokemon where they just streamlined so many annoying things and grindy things that you had to do in Pokemon. And I really enjoyed that. But it was still this turn-based RPG. It was still, you know, get through this map, you know, you can't use your your Temtem or your Pokemon or your pals, like, for anything else other than fighting each other. And so I'm really enjoying this. Why do you think it's slapping so hard? Why do you think it's hitting so hard?
I think that's a large part of it. I think, like, you know, like you said, Pokemon has either been unwilling to or afraid or unable to adapt and, like, change their core ethos for what the game is. So this one is coming out to fill a void, and I think it's, you know, like, it's a little bit darker, where we're not super attached to these things like Pikachu, so it's okay to see, like, a dead lamb ball rolling down the hill. And you're... One of the other crazy things about this game, sorry, you can capture people, like, there's bad guys in the game, and you can just catch them and then make them slaves, which... is one of those weird things that just feels like this is a silly, cartoony game that lets you kind of do whatever. I don't know. I definitely think there is likeness to the sort of Pokemon designs, but I think that's to its benefit. Like, when Pokemon first came out, we had Digimon right after. Digimon World was a great game. We had Monster Rancher. We had these games that offered something else, and they sort of fell off. So it's kind of cool to see an indie developer make something like this and everyone just be like, oh yeah, this is what I wanted. Like, this is open and silly and I can play with my friends and it's not overly litigated like Pokemon is. Pokemon, like you said, is very streamlined. Like, you use your Pokemon to fight, you take them to the Poke Center, maybe you can do like a, here, feed them Poffins and put them in a beauty contest.
Here's some berries or you know, go to the Pokemart. Give them, you know, I just, the base building... obviously, survival crafting games are very in right now and have been in since, you know, the pandemic. I mean, really...
Since, like, Minecraft.
It was really Minecraft, you know, but, like, I would say where we've seen a bunch of survival crafting games blow up that aren't Minecraft. And so they're still very in right now. Having a base that you can make, that you can defend, like... and the game, like... I want to give it its flowers, but it does really nothing original, like, at all. I want to point out, like, for all the Valheim fans out there, and I'm a huge Valheim fan, there's a deer in the game called Ekthyr Deer. And Ekthyr is a deer that's the first boss in Valheim. So it's like, it's a direct, they are directly ripping it off. And that's fine, you know, because, like, this just seems like a game that was made by gamers for gamers. That's what it feels like to me.
Well, I think Ekthyr is a, it's like actually a...
Yeah, it is.
Norse myth thing, yeah.
But I mean, for just being a survival crafting thing, and then the design... like, come on.
They gotta know.
Yeah.
I've heard a bunch of, I guess, some of the controversy around the... The internet has gotten absolutely toxic about this game, because there's a lot of Pokemon fans who hate this game for feeling they copied it. As a... in addition to the console wars and, like, this is an Xbox and PC game, so PlayStation people can't have it, all of that, but it's made people to hold the developers accountable for allegedly using AI, which I'm not sure if it's been proven or not, but I think a lot of that stems from one of the lead developers on the game saying that, like, look at these AI from this Buzz, or these Pokemon from this BuzzFeed article that AI made. It's almost indiscernible from regular Pokemon. So people have been latching onto that and being like, oh, you used AI to create this, and all of the copying stuff. That said, I don't know. There's just so many influences that go into Pokemon.
Yeah.
That it's really hard to look at, like, a Luxray, who was, like, an electric lion, and not be like, oh, that's a lion version of Goku, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking up right now how many Pokemon there actually are.
Oh, God. I don't know why I got so upset about that idea. Oh, God. It's like it's an unknowable number.
I think it's over 1,000 now. I am scrolling the list. 1,025.
Wowzer.
You try making 1,025 creatures, like cartoony creatures, and there's going to be a couple that look the same.
Yeah.
God. Darn. Oh, my goodness.
Right?
That is crazy. Yeah, I get it, but I don't know. Are you mad at DC or are you mad at Marvel because they, you know, copied superheroes from DC? You know, like, this is... Right. I'm not mad at this game. And the thing is like, everyone's focusing on the Pokemon aspect of it. But again, I see a lot more connections to other games, like V-Rising, like Valheim, like Zelda. I think the sounds are the sound cues in the game, they're like Zelda sound cues, straight up.
They are very
you
similar.
Can do the Zelda climb the wall, you can do the Zelda, you know, glide. I mean, given a lot of games have done that now, you know, including
but I
games
do
that
feel
like
it does feel very Zelda like or Breath of the Wild specifically, influenced, like those things specifically. However, they're really thrilling in gameplay, so good, use it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play this game for a long time, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. And speaking of playing this game for a long time, so the devs released some plans, and they've obviously been getting a lot of press attention. And so they've talked about how right now, the game, how it is right now, they believe is about 60% finished of what they want to do, which for me is very exciting to hear. I think there's only 111 pals in the game currently, but hearing 60%, so, you know, maybe we get that up to 150, just because that seems like a good number, not for any other reason. And they're also considering PvP, and they are but more likely are probably going to do DLC for the game, once they have, you know, completed what they initially set out to do. But they did say that PvP would be difficult, and they don't have a clear plan for how they would do that, because they're, you know, obviously want to make it fair for everyone.
With how modular the difficulty settings are, it would be pretty tough for PvP.
Yeah.
That said, I kind of enjoy this game being a chill with your buddies and play together, like cooperatively. In terms of DLC, I think that's excellent. Like, they could add more pals, new map, new building, like new types of things you can build, new levels of your stuff you unlock to be able new to craft
equipment for the pals. You know, new abilities, new commands. Like, there's so much stuff you could add, and they already have so much in the game already. So
yeah. I've been exploring the map. I explored yesterday. Like, I got stuck in a desert, and I was trying to find a way back because I had some really good gear on me. Didn't want to drop it all and lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking through the desert for no less than an hour and a half, just trying to like avoid pals because my flyer got downed. And I was like, I can't just like zip out of this situation. And it was really thrilling. And I like when I finally found a teleportation point, I was like, oh, I earned this. I was bummed I didn't get in-game experience for that because it was probably the most monumental experience I had playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a massive map already, but I'm so excited to see what they add to it because so far their instincts, though there are a lot of copying stuff, has just been like spot on. Like, this is the most fun version of this thing.
Yeah, it there is. You go. Have you played any of the multiplayer? Anything like that? Any other servers? Yeah.
Me and my buddy have been playing. I've just had him on my world, and it's really cool because we just like have two different bases set up that we can fast travel between. If we need to share resources, we can. It's really fun in that respect, and also like being able to tag team dungeons and boss encounters. The multiplayer works pretty well. It's a little laggy, but they didn't update.
I've had that experience as well. With the lag. So when you say you can go in between the two bases, like, do you join a guild, or do you stay separately so you can have two bases? I said that wrong, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I think he joined my guild, and I was like, oh, you don't have to do that, but he did just so that we... So he's using one of my, like...
One of your PAL box. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, but, yeah, because a friend of mine bought it last night, and he's like, okay, I'm going to get a dedicated server. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, take care of that. And just for people out there who are interested in playing PAL World and doing dedicated servers, G-Portal is sold out.
Wow.
In the United States. I think they only have slots available in Europe right now because of PAL World.
What a good game. Okay, first of all, this week was crazy for video games because we got PAL World, which is huge, Prince of Persia, which has also like come out to pretty well lauded reviews.
Yeah, great reviews.
And Last of Us. Yeah.
Yeah. And Last of Us getting backlash as usual, but that was expected. So
yeah, golf. You know,
people aren't happy.
Golf clubs. People are genuinely unhappy, and they take it out on women, which is most of history.
Yeah,
January used to be kind of like, okay, let's chill. February is gonna pop off. No, January is popping off too. There's no time for anything but games anymore. This is great. Yeah. This is how I wanted to live and die.
And wow, okay.
All right. Bury me with my pals.
Bury him with his pals. Which pal are you going down with?
Okay. Who have I been enjoying? Yeah, we should talk about our favorite pals, I feel like.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I have one called, like, I think it's Blazehound Noct, which he looks like a giant lion, but his mane is made of fire. His, like, fur is black and purple. And then he has big fiery wings coming off of him, and he's massive.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. You sound like you're a lot farther into the game than I am. So yeah, I don't really. I haven't beat the first tower yet. I have not.
Okay.
So, because I started playing yesterday, and so I started four new games yesterday because I was playing by myself, and then my friend got on. And then I was like, oh, you should probably start over because, like, you're not going to know how to do everything. And so then I joined his world, and then he got off, and then some other friends got on, and then they started a world. And so I started with them, and then my girlfriend got it, and then everybody got off. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll show you how to do this as well. And so I started over four times. I can't do it again. I've gotten to the boss, but I have not beaten the boss.
Do you have a favorite pal so far, though? Like, who's your road dog?
I mean, I guess, like, this is a lame answer, but, like, Fox Parks, Fox Parks is good. It does a lot of damage. I just got Nightwing. hilarious. or Boar Rush, I think.
Yeah.
I got a saddle for the boar, so I've been riding around on the boar quite a bit. So, yeah, but I gotta get deeper into it to get a real good pal. But and correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't played gotten as deep into the game as you have. There's no evolution in Pal World.
No evolution. It seems like there are, like, you know, familial trees. Like, there is the little penguin guy, and there's a Pen King, which is, he looks like an admiral, but he doesn't evolve into that, and they'll always hang out together, but it is a different creature altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. So, yeah, all these, for people seeing articles about this game, because every news outlet is posting about it, they're making all of, like, these Pokemon references in the article titles. Like, I saw one that was the best pal to start, who to pick as your starter pal. It's like, that's not how it works, guys. It's like,
no,
you're saying that because that's how it works in Pokemon. That's not how it works in this game. So
I found a chicken and I punched it and then threw a ball at it. That's not a starter. That's,
it's just, I have a chicken now. Yeah. They're all available. So
I didn't expect this game to be this good. I think when I saw, we all saw the trailer for it, we're like, oh, that seems like it's going to be a meme and possibly like a day before situation.
Yes.
but the fact they put a whole game in this game is pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited to play more of it. I will probably jump on a dedicated server tonight. So very excited for that. Any more thoughts before we're almost at an hour here, so we gotta wrap it up. Any more Pal World thoughts?
Long live Pal World. Goodbye, Pokemon. No, I'm just
kidding. Wow. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, take that, Nintendo.
The Poke Freaks are gonna come out. The sun is over. I only say Poke Freaks because of Game Freaks. That's why I said that. I'm not actually calling you freaks. Just FYI. Yeah. A plus Phil's eyebrows. So. All right. Well, I think we're going to call it there. Thank you for joining us on the GGG podcast. Have been having a great start to this year. Hopefully, we'll keep it going. And yeah, we will see you next week. Peace out.
Peace.
Deuces.